closest to the bed. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I am Bob Enyart. Fred? Fred? Where's Fred? Fred Williams is not coming in today? I thought he'd be in. Fred Williams has the day off. Wow, this might be a good time to call in with a creation evolution question or comment. Our number is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Enyart is spelled E-N-Y-A-R-T. It's Good Friday. I hope you have a good Friday. We remember that Jesus Christ came to earth to die for us, for our sin, and then 3 days later he was raised according to the scriptures. And then on Sunday, we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it'll be a great time to be in church. If you live in Colorado, if you can make it to Denver Bible Church, please come on out. We're in Arvada at 72nd and Oak. That'd be an honor to have you come by. All right, so since Fred isn't here, what can I get away with? What can I do? Well, I guess, can I do political news on Real Science Friday? Because there's a photograph. Liberals are outraged, and appropriately so, of a photograph of Barack Obama. Actually, it was photoshopped by a Republican official in Southern California. She's part of the Tea Party, and she emailed it out. She got it from someone else, and she forwarded it, and she's an elected official of the Republican Party in Orange County, and it shows Barack Obama photoshopped into a family of monkeys. It shows a family of monkeys, and of course, that's racist. There's his ancestry right there in the photo, and he's descended from apes. And we should be outraged by something like this. Of course, it's despicable. And yes, you know, racist views, that photo plays into racist views, which are evil. Unless you are Charles Darwin. And then it's completely excused. And unless you are an evolutionist at the Scopes monkey trial, remember that, the trial of the century in America? And if you're with the ACLU and you're the ACLU attorney, Clarence Darrow, and remember the textbook in Tennessee, the liberal textbook publishers that the Christian creationists were trying to stop from being promoted in the public schools? Because that textbook was racist against blacks. It showed black people and some other minorities at the bottom of an evolutionary ladder with, who do you think was on the top? Yeah, white Europeans and white Americans, of course, just like Darwin and his supporters believed. So where's the outrage against racist Charles Darwin? Where is it? The ACLU and the Scopes evolution textbook. Where's that racism? Now, the Scopes monkey trial, remember Hollywood made a movie about it called Inherit the Wind with Spencer Tracy. And that movie is an extreme misrepresentation of the truth of what happened in Tennessee in 1925. And by the way, that was the trial of the century. It was never surpassed for its media coverage in America and around the world and its impact, even though it was held way back in 1925. You think, oh, the OJ trial surpassed it. No, not according to legal historians. The Scopes monkey trial was the trial of the century. We'll get to callers in just a moment. The evolutionist make-believe version of history claims that the heroic ACLU, and remember their attorney, Charles Darrow, and the scientists were trying to get real biology into the public schools down south. Well, Tennessee had passed a law, the Butler Act, which permitted the teaching of evolution, including Darwin's Origin of the Species. You can teach that in Tennessee at the time, in which Darwin never said, by the way, in Origin of Species, that humans evolved from apes. But the Tennessee law, it did prohibit one particular teaching. Basically, tax dollars would not be used to teach that human beings evolved from apes. And so that textbook, Civic Biology, what a weird name for a textbook, Civic Biology. Maybe later in the show we'll talk about why it was titled that. It was the main biology textbook in the country. It was totally evolutionary. It wasn't Christian, sadly, or biblical. It taught evolution. And it also showed blacks at the bottom of an evolutionary ladder. And that's racist. And so it was Christians and creationists who were upset. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In Westminster, Jamie, welcome to Bob and You're at Live.
Hi, Bob. To hear that you don't have a full crew on there today, but
yeah, what happened to Fred? Fred, where are you?
He got waylaid somewhere. I had a question. I've been thinking about calling in to y'all for some time now.
All right.
I know that as young Earth creationists, there's something that I think that we kind of take for granted a little bit, as far as trying to convey it to people who are not young Earth or people who are on the fence. And
And
we know that we have evidence for a global flood. And we have evidence for a young Earth, but I think a lot of people out there who are on the fence or not clear about these things don't really understand that those two things are inextricably tied together.
Whoa, this is a fascinating point that I'm sure we've never made on Real Science Friday, because you've just crystallized it for me, Jamie, right now in 1 minute. So let me see if I could repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many Christians who have been convinced by the media that the earth is billions of years old. And they do believe in God, and they believe God created us, but they think the earth is billions of years old.
Mm-hmm.
But they believe in the Bible, and so they also believe in a global flood, because they've even seen evidence for a global flood. The continents covered almost a mile deep in sedimentary layers with billions and billions of dead things buried in fossils all over the world.
Right.
So they believe in a global flood, but they also believe in an old earth, and they don't realize that those two things are mutually exclusive.
Right. I know a number of people who hold that view who aren't really clear about that and don't realize that the two are so necessarily tied together, and I wondered if you could expand on why they are tied together so in such an important way, they are mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
As I understand it, that leaders and teachers and theologians in both camps agree that they're tied together in that way. Old earthers agree that the flood must be a local flood, and young earthers agree that the flood must be a global flood.
Wow, what a great, great point. In other words, even the Christians who have been seduced by old earth teaching, like, for example, Hugh Ross and his group Reasons to Believe, they're Christian. They say that God created the universe, but he used the Big Bang. And they teach that there was no global flood, regardless of the fact that they claim that the Bible is God's word, and they claim that the Bible is literally true. Of course, they believe it has figures of speech and poetry and parables, metaphors and all. But still, they say the Bible is literally true. Then when they come to Genesis and the global flood, the old earth Christians say there was no global flood, it was a local flood.
Right. So, I mean, and I don't think I'm 100% clear on all the evidence for why they're tied together.
Well, here's
necessarily.
Well, because the old earthers look at all these strata with all the fossils in them, and they are committed to something called uniformitarianism, that these strata were all laid down gradually over hundreds of millions of years. And so if there were a global flood, well, then there's no evidence of a global flood, they think, because all the evidence on the continents, they say that's evidence that the earth is hundreds of millions of years old. So if there was a global flood, then take that entire geologic column that they think is representative of a billion years of geologic history and collapse it into the time span of about a year or so, and then subsequent turbulence after the global flood. And so that becomes the evidence for the Genesis account of Noah and his flood, God's flood, really, that God sent. So either the world is filled with evidence for a global flood, or it's filled with evidence that the earth is billions of years old. Those are your two choices. And you're right, Jamie, from Westminster. Every creation ministry that says that the earth is billions of years old, they deny the global flood. And all the ministries that say the earth is young, they teach the global flood, that it was not local. You're exactly right.
Right, yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. And I kind of knew that a little bit, but I appreciate you kind of crystallizing that, like you said. And so it really comes down to the geological column, so to speak, and just the geological evidence specifically.
Yeah, and the you should see the backflips that they go through, like Hugh Ross, trying to read in Genesis chapter 6-9 and say that this was a local flood.
Right.
It's a local flood that God had Noah spend 120 years to build an ark and brought all the animals, every kind of land-dwelling animal that breathed there to the ark so they could survive, what, a local flood? And then the mountains are covered, the water covers the mountains. I don't know if they ever thought about what water does. If water covers mountains, it just keeps going. It doesn't form like a cube over a valley.
Right.
Yeah, what a great point.
Yeah, I have read a lot of Hugh Ross and Reasons to Disbelieve. I think they really keep their chiropractors in business the way they bend over backwards so much.
Yeah, and you know what else? Last point I'd like to make is that when you show that the earth is not old, then you destroy the hope in Darwin, evolution, and the Big Bang.
Right.
It's destroyed. And so what is left is a supernatural creator who made the earth and mankind. So old earth teaching and Darwinism, every atheist I've ever met believes some version of those things.
Right.
And when they become convinced that Darwinism is false or especially that the earth is young, then they see overwhelmingly that the Bible is the true account of history. Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate
that.
Oh,
yeah, this is why all of this is so tightly tied into the gospel itself. I mean, the relevance of the gospel. And
yeah, Jesus Christ.
The need for salvation.
Right, Jesus Christ spoke of these things as historic events. Thank you very much.
You bet.
And Adam sinned, and that's why Christ came. Okay, we'll get to more calls in a moment. 1-800-836-9278. But let me continue a little bit here. I've got notes I took from themonkeytrial.com. What a great website about the Scopes trial. And the ACLU in Hollywood, they have a make-believe version of history. And that's what they think is reality because, well, Hollywood made this movie, Inherit the Wind, with Spencer Tracy. And it was a gross misrepresentation of the truth. Well, Hollywood, the evolutionists and all, they think that in 1925, when Tennessee passed the Butler Law, they think that the public schools did not teach evolution, but that they taught the Bible. Now, I wish they had, but the truth is the opposite. The biology textbook used in Tennessee at the time was Professor George W. Hunter's Civic Biology. It was the most popular text for secondary schools in the country. It was 100% pro-evolutionist, and it had been that way for over 20 years. There's no mention in the textbook of God, nothing of creation, Adam, Eve, the book of Genesis, or any other book or person in the Bible. So the idea that evolutionists in 1925 were valiantly trying to introduce evolution into the schools is false. what the Christians were doing was trying to keep out not using tax dollars to teach that humans evolved from apes, including that blacks are closer to gorillas than are white Europeans. That was in the civic biology textbook. Weird name, huh? Let's go to the phones again. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Same number to get any of our materials, videos, Bible study, and science materials. All right, from Boulder, Sean, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Thank you. I guess just more of a comment. You know, I can remember over the years when my dad, we used to watch Leonard Nimoy In Search Of, and they talked about, you know, like how the certain parts of Earth were going to freeze or the evolution, and it just got me. I remember at times, you know, I brought up from the church with God, right, but I believe it, but at the same time, there was something inside was saying, it doesn't sound right, you know, something just doesn't sound right.
Wow.
How can we come from this way? But the Bible says this, and it's just, you know, I'm glad that over the years I've gotten back into the Word, and I've been learning through many Christian programs that are teaching the truth, yours included. And
wow, Sean, this is very exciting to hear.
Well, you know, it's we need to know this. We need to know the truth, you know, and the thing is, there's enough evidence. I've been learning from your shows and others, and, you know, the truth is out there. Jesus said he will make his truth known to the world, and it's there, but we can choose it.
Yeah.
Ignore it or believe it. Even if we ignore it, it doesn't mean it's not there. But
right, and the more wicked and godless the culture becomes, the greater the opportunity for Christians to share the truth.
Yes. I just want to ask your opinion. I've heard supposedly Darwin did have some form of belief of God. I've heard his stuff over the years, but
yeah.
I've heard suppose he did. But over the years, many people changed this. Oh no, he didn't believe in God. But
yeah, he grew up in a Christian family, so to speak, with a religious education.
Yeah.
But he turned against God as he began to read and think about the Earth being millions of years old. And when he developed his thought of origin of the species, natural selection, descent from a common ancestor, he really harshly turned against God. Then his own children, he was very sickly through his whole life, severely so, from the voyage of the Beagle to his death. And his children also, as I recall, were not very healthy. And a daughter he loved died very young. I think a couple of his kids died.
Heard of something like that.
Yeah, died before adulthood. And so, you know, it was ironic. He taught survival of the fittest, and that this was a good thing, that nature was weeding out the weak, the organisms that should die. And here is his own family dying off because they were weak. And nature, which is the great God creator, is getting rid of Charles Darwin's family.
We just got to keep spreading the truth. You know,
And there's no evidence that he became a believer on his deathbed. That story is now well documented, how it originated. It's not true, but he did have a wife of many years who he loved, and she would talk with him and plead with him to trust in Jesus Christ for his eternal soul. At one point, his wife wrote him a letter, and he kept it by his bedside for years. And he wrote how many times he would pick it up, read it, and I think he even said something like he would cry over it or be in turmoil. And there was, you know, God's voice is in each one of us, and we resist it, and then it becomes weaker and weaker.
Exactly. He's there. He's letting us know he's there and he's real. And
yeah, our conscience.
He's putting the truth. Exactly.
Right. Romans.
He put on our hearts. He put on our hearts
what's
right and wrong and what we need to know. And then, from there, where to inquire, okay, is there a God? Or, God, if you're real, but we have to be willing to want to inquire. And like I tell people, I'll make it quick, you know, the truth is there. We can ignore it, but it doesn't mean it's still not there. Mm-hmm. It's still there.
Yeah. Wow. Sean, what an honor. Have we ever met? You're just right up the road in Boulder.
Not yet. I've talked to you a few times. I was homeless for a while. I mentioned I talked to you, and I want to apologize. Your personnel called me a few weeks back, a week ago. They were trying to get out of my job. I've been normally working. I usually keep my phone off, but I got off early today. But I talked to you a few times, and I listen to you when I can. I listen to others, and you know, there's a few things at times I don't agree with you, but I do feel you're doing the work.
Well,
I do feel you're doing the work in the Lord.
Hey, Sean,
I really do.
When you disagree, that's when you got to call in and set me straight. All right.
There you go.
I need it. I need
but
you. Thanks.
But you, I do feel for the most part you are doing the work of the Lord. And
well,
hey, we just help each other.
I pray so. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
May God bless you.
You too.
My call screener is saying that he really likes this DVD we have here called Darwin's Dilemma, and he's recommending that people who enjoy learning about science call us or go on our website and click on the store and our science department and get Darwin's Dilemma, 800-836-9278. All right, so now this civic biology textbook in Tennessee, weird name for a biology book, civic. What's with that? Well, let's take a rabbit trail and remember what racist Charles Darwin said about blacks being closer to gorillas. Do you remember that? I remember that. One reason is because it's right on American Right to Life's website. American Right to Life, the folks over there, they make it so easy to find anything on that site. You just go to AmericanRightToLife.org and you put in /Darwin. You could put /whatever they talk about. It's so easy. /Einstein. /exceptions. It's just so easy. But anyway, at American Right to Life, Darwin, in his own words, they show the cover of his book, Origin of Species, and they point out that the subtitle was removed from later editions of the book, and the subtitle speaks of favored races, the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. And you think, well, that doesn't mean human races. That means just animals. Well, here's what Charles Darwin wrote in his next book, The Descent of Man. Right? The Descent of Man. He wrote at some, and this is right on American Right to Life's website, and you click and you go right to the book at googlebooks.com. So it's right there from the original source material. At some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace throughout the world the savage races. And by the savage races, you know who he means, right? He means indigenous peoples, aboriginals, blacks. That's who he means. So they're going to exterminate and replace throughout the world the savage races. Oh, and by the way, do you know the Chinese slaughter of tens of millions of their own people, that China was obsessed, to this day is obsessed with Charles Darwin and social Darwinism? That was the meaning of the title of the textbook in Tennessee, Civic Biology. Civic. You take the teachings of evolution, and in eugenics, you get rid of inferior, lower human races so that you have the master race. And that's what the Christians in Tennessee were trying to stop. And by the way, Germany too. The obsession with Charles Darwin and Darwin supporters promoting social Darwinism. And so Darwin continued, at the same time, the anthropomorphous apes, apes that are like human forms, the apes, as Professor, now what is this last name? How do you pronounce this? Schaffhausen, huh? Say it like Mathausen? Oh, Schaffhausen, like Mathausen. I remember Mathausen, the concentration camp. Professor Schaffhausen has remarked that these will no doubt be exterminated. And then Darwin says the break between humans and non-humans, humans and apes, the break will then be rendered wider, for it will intervene, the break, between man in a more civilized state once we exterminate the indigenous people and the blacks. That break will intervene before man in a more civilized state, like white Europeans, as we may hope, than the Caucasian and some ape as low as a baboon, instead of as at present between the Negro and the gorilla. How's that? How's that? And that's exactly what was going on in America. So the Scopes Monkey Trial, with great information at themonkeytrial.com, many Christian leaders supported the law in Tennessee that prohibited using tax dollars to teach that human beings evolved from apes. Billy Sunday, the evangelist Billy Sunday, was against doing that. And the politician and orator William Jennings Bryan, both of these men regarded God as creating all human beings equally. However, back then, eugenics was gaining power in the 1920s, fueled by Darwin's proponents in Germany and America, and on liberal college faculties. Eventually, Nazi Germany brought the worst fears of William Jennings Bryan to reality. That's what Nazi Germany did. And they did the same thing in the Soviet Union and the Communist Chinese. They adopted the practices of eugenics, and eventually tens of millions were slaughtered by the belief that we're basically animals. You know, Charles Darwin, his family, he was born into a family that was strongly anti-slavery. But he wrote something in The Descent of Man that's tragic. He wrote this about ants that have their own slaves. He said, it is far more satisfactory to look at such instincts as ants making slaves, not as specially created instincts, but as small consequences of one general law leading to the advancement of all organic beings, namely, multiply, vary, let the strongest live and the weakest die. And, of course, Darwin recognized that his theory brought to that logical conclusion was cruel, and human compassion would be destroyed. And that's exactly what happened to millions. Do we have time? We don't have time, right? Okay, Dean, if you could hang on. Dean, we'll continue. Even though we're going off the air right now, we'll continue with Dean in a moment. We'll see if we could get that on our website at KGov, KGOV.com. Please, if you can, please support us here at Bob and Yurt Live. We do not have a large foundation behind us. There are no grants that are given to Bob and Yurt Live year after year. We struggle, and we need your help. So please help us out at KGov, KGOV.com. Back to the phones. Dean, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you. In 1992, I went to Maryland, and I went to church at a Baptist church, and Ken Ham was there, and Kim and Beverly LaHaye was there.
All right.
Tim was an associate pastor there, and he taught our adult Sunday school class.
Okay, this was in 1992.
Right.
And you were a member of the church?
No.
Oh.
My sister-in-law and brother-in-law was.
All right.
We went out there to see him.
So, Dean, you visited, and this was in what city?
In Maryland, in Silver Spring.
All right, go ahead.
And I told Ken Ham after services that I was told that before he died, Darwin accepted Christ.
Yeah.
And he said that was a lie.
Yeah, it's not true. Ken Ham was exactly right. You know, one of the things Ken Ham does well is he looks for rumors and like urban myths that are not true, and he tries to get the truth out so that we don't lose credibility when we claim things that are false.
Yeah, and he told me that Darwin was buried under the Church of England.
Westminster Abbey.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, big mistake, I think, personally, my own opinion. In Europe, when they started burying people inside the churches,
yeah.
So they got crypts and graves and tombs. They got the churches filled with dead people, literally corpses, and eventually the people sitting in the pews, they were dead too. The whole church died. And it's not that, I don't think it's an inexorable law that if you bury someone in your church will die spiritually, but I think it did happen in Europe, and today Europe is post-Christian, Europe is spiritually dead, and the only hopes for revival in Europe that are on the horizon right now are the Young Earth Creation Movement is the Young Earth Creation Movement and the homeschool movements.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, I had a biology book that had what looked like an ocean on the front and had fish there and everything, and it had the name of Charles Darwin on it.
Wow.
On the cover.
Yeah. Because, you know, he thought that we evolved from the sea. And do you remember the TV show, The Beverly Hillbillies?
Oh, yeah.
I think they brought Granny, when they moved to California, they brought her to the ocean. And they said, this is where we came from, Granny. We came from the sea. And she said, the only sea I came from is Tennessee. Thank you, Dean.
Yeah. Instead of the big pond, huh?
Yeah. I appreciate you calling, Dean.
All right, Bob. I appreciate you. God bless you.
God bless you. So I appreciate Dean and our callers and you guys out there. Please, if you can, you know, we really struggle here at Bob and Yurt Live. We can use your help. You can call us to make a donation, a one-time, a monthly donation, or you can go to our store, make a donation there, a monthly pledge there to give automatically monthly, or you could get some of our really fun science materials, science in the Bible materials, and also our Bible teaching albums, DVDs, and our topical DVDs. We have so much fun with studying the scriptures, the world around us, history, science, economics, and we'd like to do more to share that with you, and because it will help us continue to stay on the air and reach more people. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, and kgov.com. May God bless you.